powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, of the joints and the marrow, and is a critic of thoughts and intents of the heart. All Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study to show yourselves approved unto God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. 2 Peter 3:6. 2 Peter 3:6. All right, let's take the usual time to judge ourselves to see if we're in fellowship. If you can't think of anything to rebound, generic rebound works. Forgive us our sins, and you're back in fellowship. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, once again, we assemble ourselves together so that we can continue with the mind of Christ and those things that you deem important. We ask that you bless our time and our understanding on this topic. In Christ's name, amen. All right. Referring to the antagonists that attack the plan of God, discount the rapture, the coming of the Lord, because it's been delayed in their mind or it doesn't exist. And so they have adopted a doctrine, a different doctrine of creation and the origin of things that is in complete and total opposition and at complete odds. You couldn't get a more opposite system if you tried than the one that is advocated in the name of science in our world today. Of course, this has come all down through history, and surely there were people in the past that had similar kind of viewpoints with regard to origins and the Earth's geological history, which they miss a mile. So we had in verse 5, for when they maintain this, they're bad-mouthing the promise of his coming, it escapes their notice that by the word of God, the heavens existed long ago. And the earth was formed out of water and by water. Now, last time, we worked on the details here of the two floods. The first has as its background the original creation. The original creation was pristine. It wasn't tohu wa bohu. It was as it stated in Genesis 1:1, in a beginning, God created ex nihilo, out of nothing, the heavens and the earth. He established all of this. God existed eternally as a spirit. He isn't dependent upon a physical universe, physical things like we are. But because of his plan, he created the heavens and the earth. That's stands by itself. We also noted that the angelic race was created first, and they were all eyewitnesses, including Lucifer before he fell, of the creation. That is why there is no salvation package for angels. That's in Hebrews chapter 2, I think verse 10. Don't quote me. But there is a verse to that effect. There is no salvation package for the angels. The angels were tested, Satan fell, and a third went with him. Then, this earth that was created in verse 1, in verse 2, was or became formless and void. And darkness was over the surface of the deep. Notice all the key words here, the deep. It was all flooded. There was no visible landmass as a result of a judgment that fell on the earth proper. I'm still working on one detail. I'll bring it up later, maybe. But anyway, the earth was in an ice pack in darkness when God began to change the scene with regard to the first preparatory thing that was done is that God, the Holy Spirit, thawed out the ice pack. So what do you have after that's done? Water. No visible land mass. None. And so we have, on the first day, we have the division of light and darkness, establishing day, night, day, night. This is just day one. They had a nighttime and a daytime. First day. No life forms on earth. And he named these two things day and night. And then he established in the second day, he established one thing, the dome. This covering. It's described elsewhere in your Bible. In Ezekiel, I believe, yeah. It's described, there's a description of its makeup. So, as a result of this dome, this is the second heaven. The first heaven is where the birds and the airplanes go. And whatever's up, and where all the stars, sun and moon, were established. But not on this day, we just get the dome. And still the darkness, day, night routine. This is on D plus 2 here in the verses here in the first chapter. And then on the third day of the process, he lifted up a land mass. And this goes to our verse, the verse we dealt with Sunday, and the earth was formed out of water. Water runs off. So it had a topography. It wasn't just pancake flat. It had a topography. Not like the one we have today. Not as dramatic as the one we have today. Okay. So, on the... And he pulled up this land map. So we have dry land, if you will. Guess what? On the third day, we get all these plants. He's a gardener. He creates all these mature plants, plants them everywhere. That's the origin of plants, period. Fiat creation of all kinds of plants from trees on down. Everything. And all the uses that plants provide people with. And that's day three. And then on the fourth day, this dramatic event occurs where he establishes the two great lights. They're going to substitute in the day-night routine that was the glory of God shining in the darkness on the days up to this point. This is when, I know people think you're insane, if you said we technically got plants, all kinds, grasses, or everything. We got all of the plant kingdom, horticulture. We got all of it before we got the sun, moon, and stars set in place. That's what Genesis says. It does not, could not possibly, people, fit this viewpoint that we have been taught in America. So, the light to govern the day, he has established, put these lights to light the earth, day and night, routine continues, separate light from darkness. God saw that was good. This was the evening and morning of fourth day. Then we move on to populating his aquarium aquatic creatures next. As you work your way through this. And we get waters teeming with swarms of living creatures. Also, the bird kingdom in the open expanse created the great sea monsters and every living thing that moves with which the waters swarmed after their kind and every winged bird after its kind. And God saw that it was good. Bless them, multiply, fill the seas, and multiply on the earth. And this is the fifth day. So if you were there, that's what happened. And then, of course, the next day, he created living things, creatures, cattle, domesticated, creeping things, beasts of the field, all of it. Everything that creeps on the ground, blah, blah, blah. And then on this sixth day is when he put man on earth. Now, this is completely at odds with anything that you would ever learn out there in the cosmos. Completely. Not even close. If Oklahoma puts Bibles in their schools, I wonder if they're going to read this one and explain it. I doubt it. Through which the world at that time was destroyed. Verse 6. Through which the cosmos, the world, at that time, adverb, was destroyed. Apolumi, aorist indicative. Being flooded with water. Being flooded is kata ludzo, means to flood with water, hudor. Okay. The next major event with respect to Earth's geology was, of course, Noah's flood. We'll jump ahead to Noah's flood. After the original creation, and this is based on studying, the genealogies and taking them literally in Genesis, from Adam to Noah. And you add it all up and you get 1,656 years from the creation of Adam to Noah's flood event and all that happened in between there. So the next major event with respect to Earth's geology was, of course, Noah's flood. It occurred 1,656 years after the creation of Adam. The phrase "through which" has as his antecedent water from verse 5. That's where I get two floods. Two floods. The earth was flooded after the angelic event and made tohu wabohu. And this is the second flood. So apparently, before the first flood, there was dry land. And so he makes this place unattractive I know of no living things that existed outside of angels prior to that. There's nothing said about that. So the words "the world at that time" refers to antediluvian, that means pre, antediluvian, a word for flood, antediluvian civilization with its unique environment. Under the dome, it was the greenhouse effect. One continent, one language, one ocean. One human race, one language, on it goes, all over the earth. Now, what did they do during the 1656? We have some hints in Genesis, which I won't go into. There was the development of a certain fellow started developing musical instruments as an example of culture. And other things were done. I think some phenomenal things were done as man began to multiply and build civilizations or cities, if you will. There was no separate nations. Nationalism comes after the flood. Nationalism did not exist before the flood. It was one race of people. The verb was restored refers to a universal cataclysm, not a local flood. It would be rather pointless to load the ark with pairs of land-breathing creatures if the flood were local in nature, as has been advocated by some Christians. They won't take this literally. All land-dwelling creatures, human and otherwise, were destroyed due to the unabated evil, particular in the antediluvian civilization. In other words, they became exceedingly corrupt. Once again, believers and positive believers are in the small minority. But they existed and served God. So a description is found of this evil. All right, moving on. With water is an instrumental neuter from the noun hudor. The source of the water was twofold. They got their first rain. And we find in Genesis where it came from. They got rain. The 40 days and nights of horrendous rain. I mean, just falling out of the sky. Noah had been preaching this for all this time, I think 120 years, and building this ark and being mocked. I've seen in the news that they are saying that they believe they found the ark that is preserved on Mount Ararat in Turkey, just like the Bible says, where it finally came to rest on one of those high mountain ranges that was pulled up as a part of the flood event. The water that swept over the continent and wiped out humanity was from tidal waves. The event, as recorded in Genesis, included 40 days and 40 nights of rain, Genesis 7, 4-12. The antediluvians had never experienced storms, as the earth was watered through heavy mist, Genesis 2:6. The rain came from the floodgates of heaven that is located in the firmament established on D plus 2. There's the reference to it. The major source of the watery destruction, however, came from the breaking up of what the Bible calls the fountains of the deep. That singular ocean was pulled up and flooded the continent. So, again, the rain comes from the floodgates and the fountains of the deep, that's the other rain. All of this began in the 600th year of Noah's life, Genesis 7:11. The question we now direct our attention to is how? The answer is simple, the omnipotence of God. Not some astral visitor or whatever. It was just God's power to pull this water up and flood that one continent, Pangaea. The dating of the catastrophe is 2200 BC based on a strict reading of genealogies. The effect of the catastrophe on the earth's fauna was to bury billions of specimens. Two, to bring to extinction thousands of species. C, to cause a reorganization of zoo geography for the surviving species. The effect on the earth's flora was bury trillions of specimens. To bring thousands of specimens to extinction, perhaps. To cause a reorganization of the flora geography for the surviving species. The effect of the catastrophe on man was to make his survivors very, very few in number. And to make his survivors and their early generations very catastrophic minded. Or put another way, why does the physical evidence support a universal flood whose waters reached a height of 15 cubits, 25 feet above the highest hills or mountains, Genesis 7:19 and 20? At this juncture, we will consider the tidal aspect of the flood. So often the flood is thought to have been the result of heavy flood. The Bible teaches that rain was associated with the flood, but not that rain was the primary cause. The two phenomena are merely simultaneous in the same time frame. The rain ended 40 days and nights, but the waters continued to rise for another 110 days, Genesis 7, 12, and 24. The solution is tides in subcontinental proportions. The rain was but a drop in the bucket, so to speak. The grounded ark is high on the Ararat, Caucasus, Elbers region, Genesis 8, 4. Well, if they've got that thing up there and it's just been sitting there, wow. It was made out of a very durable wood, acacia wood. The grounding of the ark on the high mountain terrain offers strong evidence of the tidal nature of the flood. Tides have the effect of both raising and lowering waters and raising, moving, and grounding driftwood at near high tide. The ark is comparable to a piece of driftwood floating on tidal movements of subcontinental magnitude. In such a picture, the ark would be stranded at or near high tide. 32. In such a scenario, it would logically be caught and grounded within a topographical barrier, such as a hedge or high or ridge of mountains. If a ship of this size had floated at all from mere rainfall, it would have floated downward, not upward, and toward sea level. The tidal sweep, which swamps a sandcastle at the seashore, also swamped the Alps, Andes, Pyrenees, Rockies, or Ararats. It is only a matter of magnitude or degree. It's not a matter of lack of mechanism. Tides with water high enough to swamp the highest mountains upon earth would have exerted great pressure on the earth's crust. It would have been sufficient to metamorphize any of the various kinds of deposits into successive strata, intermixed with trapped organisms, turning them into perfectly preserved fossils, the subject of fossilization. High pressures on a carcass of some whatever, and the print is left in the rock. That's where we get fossils. The fossilization of animals, fossilization of other things. I have some bookends in there that are fossilized wood that I bought in some store up in Colorado. So the geophysical nature of the flood becomes apparent as one notes the phrase, the fountains of the deep, the antediluvian ocean. In the oceans of the earth, there are more than 200 million, I've been told, cubic miles of water. As these tides prevailed on the earth for a period of 5 months, for it was not until after the 150 days had passed that the fountains of the deep were stopped and everything began to go down and water runs down to its lowest level and forms the new oceans. There are other factors that probably were after the flood, continental drift, breaking up of the Pangaea into our different continents, six or whatever they say there is. The evidences of this cataclysm, and I'm not going to go into all this because I will bore you to complete tears. You will wish I'd shut up. You can read this for yourself. I put this down back in the day. The evidences of the cataclysm on the Earth's crust include the following. Fossilization of rocks. Great numbers of living creatures were trapped and buried in the swirling sediments. Practically all modern families and most genera are represented in the fossil record, as well as extinct species. Quick burial under extreme pressures make for favorable conditions for this process. Phenomena of sedimentation. Most of the sedimentary rock of the Earth's crust are ones containing the fossil remains. They have been laid down by moving water. These layers are the result of the process of erosion, transportation, deposition, and lithification. At the flood, this phenomena was different quantitatively and qualitatively. Animals today don't die and turn into fossils. It requires a particular dynamic. Fossil graveyards. Never does one find in the present era great graveyards of organisms thrown all together in one spot. The Cumberland Blue Cave in Maryland contains the remains of dozens of species of animals, ranging from bats to mastodons, along with some reptiles and birds, from different types of climates and habitats. In this one cave have been found such types as the wolverine, grizzly bear, and whatever that mustelide, which are native to the Arctic region, and all these others, and various types represented in these. In these things, I just listed a whole bunch of this stuff here that I found from the Scientific American and other writings. So this is where all this came from. Noah's flood. I'm gonna let you go early today because I didn't put out new notes tonight. You'll go through and read all this if you're. Want to go to sleep quicker? You laughing? Oh, we did get the heat back on. I'm about to break a sweat right now. Just kidding. We're experimenting with it. Our thermostat went out, and that's why we're cold Sunday. But we got that working, and so we should be in good shape in that department. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity. May God, the Holy Spirit, enlighten us in Christ's name. Amen.